Once, a poor woman went to visit a Buddhist way place and wished to make a donation. Being extremely poor, she only had 2 cents, but she freely gave these to a monk. To her surprise, the abbot himself came to help her regret 4 past offenses and to dedicate her merits. Later, she was chosen to enter the imperial palace and obtained wealth and prestige. Clad in her riches, she again went to the way place to make a donation, this time bringing thousands of silver pieces. To her dismay, the abbot only sent his student, another monk, to help her dedicate her merits. She did not understand and questioned the abbot, saying, "In the past, I only donated 2 cents, yet you personally helped me to express my regret for past offenses. Today, I come with great wealth to give, and you will not help me perform my merit dedication. Why?" The abbot replied, "Although the amount of money you gave in the past was small, it came from a true and sincere heart. It was necessary for me to repay your sincerity by personally performing your dedications. Today, although your donation is much greater, the heart of giving is not quite as true and sincere as before. Therefore, it is fitting and sufficient that my student performs your dedications for you." This is an example of how thousands of silver pieces are only considered half goodness, and 2 cents are whole goodness. End quote. This analogy of a container is easy to understand. If we want to accumulate goodness, it will eventually become filled if we persist in our efforts. But if we are not persistent, the container will not become filled. This shows the importance of accumulating goodness. And most importantly, we must not accumulate wrongdoings, or we will destroy ourselves. This is a true account in Buddhist records. A laywoman wished to make an offering to a Buddhist way place, but she was so poor, she only had 2 cents with her. Nonetheless, she donated them to the way place. Because of her sincerity, the abbot personally helped her to dedicate the merits from this good deed. Later, when she moved into the imperial palace and became wealthy, she returned to the way place with a small fortune. To her surprise, the abbot did not greet her personally, and only asked one of his students to dedicate her merits for her. Confused, she asked why. This abbot had very high moral standards. in the past, people with high moral standards judged others by their sincerity, regardless of the amount they donated. If people were truly sincere, then no matter how little they donated, the abbot would have personally performed their dedications. If not, the abbot was not obligated to do so. With a heart of sincerity, the donors nurtured good fortune by making offerings to the Buddha. With the heart of sincerity, they only had to donate a little to gain infinite benefits in return. However, in this example, the woman had become wealthy and prestigious, and her sincerity had been buried by her new manner of living. Therefore, by sending his student to greet her, the old abbot was actually trying to awaken her from her delusion. This was actually the greatest kindness and compassion. He was trying to show her where she had erred in the hope that she would learn and change. When the woman had donated 2 cents on her initial visit, her return of good fortune was full and complete. But on her second visit, her return of good fortune was only half full and incomplete. When we are practicing to accumulate good fortune, it is important for us to realize that the determining factor is not the amount of money or the number of good deeds, but the heart of sincerity. As long as we do things with utmost sincerity and effort, then we will accomplish full and complete goodness. When we dedicate our merits, we do 3 things to show our heart of true sincerity. We think to ourselves, today, when I practice, I do the following. First, I dedicate my merits to returning to the state of reality. I wish to attain clarity of true mind, to uncover my original self-nature. Second, I dedicate my merits to awakening. I wish to awaken from my state of delusion and to understand the truth of the universe. Third, I dedicate my merits to all living beings. I wish that the Buddhas would help all to break through delusion and attain awakening, to leave suffering and gain happiness. I dedicate all merits for all others, not for myself. If this is truly our intention, then with this thought, we will be able to achieve full merits and virtues. But if there is the slightest thought for ourselves, for example, for fame or wealth, then we will not be able to gain anything in return. Not even a half return. In fact, we will probably have incurred negative karma instead. From the book. Another example is Li Zhong, an immortal of the Han Dynasty. He was teaching his student, Dong Bin Lu, the art of transforming iron into gold. They would use this gold to help the poor. Dong Bin asked his teacher, "Will the gold ever change back to iron?" Li Zhong answered, "After 500 years, it will return to its original form." Dong Bin said, "In that case, I do not wish to learn this, for it will harm those who possess the gold 500 years from now." End quote. These are two of the eight immortals who are highly respected by the Chinese. Li Zhong offered to teach Dong Bin alchemy, the art of turning iron into gold. Then Dong Bin would be able to help the poor. But Dong Bin was very cautious. He wanted to know if the transmutation was permanent. Li Zhong told him that it was not. Dong Bin's immediate response was that he did not want to learn alchemy, because although it would benefit people for a few centuries, it would hurt those who possessed the gold 500 years later. This would have been a bad deed. However, when we look around today, most people are only concerned with what they can get now. They do not think about how it might affect others in the future. From this, we can sadly see how moral standards have declined over the years. From the book, Li Zhong said, "To become an immortal, one must complete 3,000 virtuous deeds. What you have just said came from a truly kind heart. Your 3,000 deeds are fulfilled." This is another example of whole goodness and half goodness. End quote. In Taoism, it is said that in order to practice the art of immortality, we must complete 3,000 virtuous deeds. These requirements are more lenient than those in Buddhism. In the latter, we must possess purity of mind before we can achieve the state of mind of Buddhism and become a Dharma repository. Taoists do not seek purity of mind. They seek the compassionate heart. With this single thought, Dong Bin had instantly accomplished the 3,000 virtuous deeds required to practice immortality. His concern about not harming any sentient beings had actually surpassed 3,000 virtuous deeds. Thus, one single thought was sufficient to fulfill the entire requirement. This is similar to what Mr. Liaofan did in reducing the taxes on the farmers. That one kind thought alone fulfilled his vow of 10,000 kind deeds. This teaches us the benefits of practicing from our true heart. From the book, when we perform a good deed, it is best for us to not attach to how much we have done. If we practice in this manner, then all of our good deeds will reach fulfillment and success. If instead we always think of the deeds that we have performed, looking for a reward of some kind, then no matter how diligently we practice, even for an entire lifetime, our deeds will still be considered only half goodness. For example, when we donate money to the poor, we can practice what is called pure donation. In this type of giving, we do not dwell on the thought of I, who is giving, on the importance of the object that was given, or on the one who has received. We are simply giving out of true sincerity and respect. When we practice pure donation, 1 pound of rice can bring infinite good fortune, and the merit from giving 1 cent can wipe away the transgressions of 1,000 eons. However, if we always keep in mind the good that we have done and expect rewards for our actions, then even a donation of 200,000 gold pieces would not bring us the reward of full good fortune. This is another way of explaining whole goodness and half goodness. End quote. If we have tried our best, then we will achieve full goodness. If we still have reservations and have not done all that we can, then we have only achieved half goodness. Therefore, when we accumulate good deeds, we need to do so with complete sincerity. Most people in this world do not realize this true reality, and consequently, they doubt what the Buddha taught. This doubt is one of the 5 poisons of greed, anger, ignorance, arrogance, and doubt. They believe and act according to what we have told them. However, in the act of practicing good deeds, they still want to reserve something, still want to hold something back. They are unable to let go of everything. They are afraid that if they give everything away, they will have nothing to live on tomorrow. This is doubt. They do not have the understanding. They do not have the wisdom or the determination to practice full goodness. They can only achieve half goodness. This is why, although many people are practicing good deeds, they do not obtain good fortune in return, and why they do not see any immediate results. If, as practitioners, we truly want to practice for good fortune, then we must fully understand and believe in Buddhism, believe in what the Buddha taught, without the slightest doubt. Sometimes others will say that we are foolish and superstitious, and we may begin to think they are right. Consequently, we may refrain from thinking kind thoughts and doing good deeds. When this happens, our heart of kindness has been affected by deviated viewpoints. When we truly believe and act accordingly, the results will be easy to recognize. They will be so much more than what was described in Liao Fan's Four Lessons. They will be incredible. After reading this book, we must believe that we have the courage within to undergo anything as long as we act with sincerity. We will gain a return of 1,000-fold for a fraction of our effort. However, if we act with the hope of gaining a lavish return in return for what we do, then we have not acted with the heart of sincerity. We could give everything that we have, but we would only gain half of the good fortune, not the whole. Also, by dwelling on our good acts, we will be unable to eliminate all of our longings. This is another reason why we can only gain half goodness. When we are willing to let go of our wealth, we will gain wealth. When we are willing to give teachings, we will gain wisdom. When we give fearlessness, we will gain longevity and healthy lives. The law of cause and effect is a fact. It is as natural as the laws of heaven and earth. If we perform good deeds without expectation of reward, without the wish for prestige, wealth, wisdom, health, or long life, without the wish for anything, then we are bound to receive full and complete everything. If this is not being free and at great ease, what possibly could be? Of course, we will still gain something if we perform good deeds as we seek. But it will neither be full nor complete.
Why? When we no longer have desires, our hearts will be pure, and our behavior will be a reflection of our true nature. When our true nature and virtues are uncovered, what we will receive is incredible. And what is most wonderful is that we will be able to go to the Pure Land, to the Huazhong world. The Pure Land of each Buddha land is manifested from the true nature, from our Buddha self nature. But if we possess just one longing, then this is no longer a reflection of the true self nature. And all the prestige, wealth, health, and long life that we have gained through practicing good deeds will eventually be gone. What we have gained will have been limited, for it is measurable, and one day it will be used up. Only a virtuous nature is similar to our self nature. It neither arises nor ceases. This is what freedom is all about. Only someone with great merits and wisdom is willing to let go of all belongings, of everything. No ordinary person would be willing to do so. This is why we can only find bodhisattvas and Buddhas practicing great merits. Bodhisattvas are aware of the bad habits, problems, and rebellious ways of we ordinary people. But they do not mind these obstacles. They use their patience and tolerance and compassion to help all others. Therefore, the heart of a bodhisattva is different from that of an arhat or a pratyeka Buddha. The latter two still use the false heart, whereas a bodhisattva uses his true heart. We seek wealth and prestige, not realizing that these do not have to be sought because they are already within our true nature. In our practice, we are trying to uncover this true nature and the abilities that lie within it. Therefore, one of our goals as Buddhists is to return to reality, to uncover our self-nature, our original wisdom, our original Buddha nature. This self-nature already possesses everything. There is no need to seek outside. Seek only within. The self-nature has infinite wisdom and abilities that are inexhaustible. Everyone has this self-nature. We just do not yet realize it. Until we do so, we can rely upon the Buddha to teach us how to develop it. This is why the benevolence shown to us by the Buddhas is so extraordinary. This is the true reality behind all the reasonings. As long as we are sincere in our every good deed, then it is true that freely giving 1 pound of rice can bring infinite good fortune because it fulfills the integrity of the self nature. And the good fortune from freely offering 1 cent to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha can wipe away the transgressions of thousands of eons. The Suringama Sutra tells us that during the Dharma ending age, the number of deviated teachings will be as numerous as the grains of sand in the Ganges River. They may appear to be teachings of the Buddha, but actually they are those of demons. Since this is the case, where should we go when we want to plant the seeds of good fortune and to practice virtuous deeds? What if the way place we choose to go to is run by people with deviated thoughts? Then, not only might we not plant the seeds for good fortune, but might we not also unknowingly commit bad deeds? Remember that Buddhism is a teaching of practicing within. If our intention is to go to a way place and pay our respects to the Buddha, then the Buddha will become Buddha Amitabha or Buddha Shakyamuni according to what our heart is giving rise to. If the heart is true, sincere, and honest, then even if we went to a way place run by demons, the Buddha would be true. However, if the heart were improper to begin with, then even if we are practicing at a proper way place, we would still be corresponding with demons. This is not to say that there are no good way places to practice during the Dharma ending age. The real way place is within our heart. The Vimalakirti Sutra tells us that a sincere heart is the way place. A pure heart is the way place. A compassionate heart is the way place. A way place is within our hearts. When our mind is on the path to enlightenment, then no matter where we are, there will always be a way place. As long as our hearts are proper, then no matter where we go, there will always be proper teachings. This is what we mean when we say the environment changes according to our minds. It is the mind within that changes the environment that surrounds us. If we can just understand this and be diligent in our practice, then society and countries would have an abundance of good fortune. However, If we do not rid ourselves of wandering thoughts and attachments to our good deeds, then even if we gave away tens of thousands of gold pieces, our merit would not be full. From the book. What is big goodness and small goodness? Once, there was a high-ranking official named Zhongda Wei, who was led into the underworld to be judged for his good and bad deeds. The judge ordered his records of good and bad to be brought out. When the records arrived, Zhongda was astounded that the courtyard was filled with his bad records and his good deeds were all contained on one single scroll. The official then ordered the two to be weighed. Amazingly, the bad records which had filled the courtyard were lighter than the single scroll of good deeds, which were as thin as a chopstick. Zhongda asked the judge, "I am barely 40 years old. How could I have committed so many wrongdoings?" The judge answered, "When you give rise to a single thought that is improper, it is considered an offense there and then. It does not have to be carried out to be counted as a wrongdoing." End quote. Good fortune and kindness come in both big and small sizes. The above account tells of a man who was led before the king of the underworld for judgment. The king asked the judge to bring out the records. "We have had innumerable good and bad thoughts, performed uncountable good and bad deeds during our lifetime. Consequently, there are records of every single one of these for every single one of our lifetimes. These records are kept with the king of the underworld and the ruler of the spirit world. This is why Mr. Liao Fan taught us to have respect and fear within our hearts." After the records of Zhongda had been brought out, he saw that he had a massive amount of records which told of all his bad thoughts and deeds. On the other hand, the records which recorded his good thoughts and deeds were as thin as a chopstick. However, after the records were weighed to see which was heavier, it turned out that the thin scroll outweighed the volumes the courtyard filled with the records of wrongdoings. This was most likely because he did not commit any serious offenses, but many minor faults. Therefore, one great kind deed would offset numerous, innumerable small deeds. Upon seeing the results, the judge was quite pleased. Zhongda was a good person after all. Upon, therefore, when Zheng Dao questioned how he was able to commit so many faults before he had even reached the age of 40, the judge explained to him that even if it were just an improper thought, without any resultant action, it would still be recorded as a fault. Luckily, Zheng Da had one great deed which outweighed all his minor faults. From the book, Zheng Da then asked him what was recorded on the single good scroll. The judge replied, "Once the emperor planned to build a great stone bridge, but you opposed the project due to the hardship and toil it would cause the tens and thousands of people needed for the work. This is a copy of your proposal to the emperor." Zheng Da said, "I did make the proposal, but the emperor dismissed it and proceeded with the project anyway. My proposal had no effect on the matter at all. How can it bear so much weight against my numerous offenses?" The judge replied, "Although the emperor did not accept your suggestion that one thought of kindness you bore for tens and thousands of people was very great, if the emperor had listened to you, then the good performed would have been even greater. Therefore, when we are determined to do good for the benefit of all, a small deed can result in great merits. If we think only of benefiting ourselves, then even if many deeds of kindness were performed, the merits would still be small." End quote. The content of the scroll was a description of the major good deed which Zheng Da had performed. When the emperor wanted to construct a bridge, Zheng Da saw that it would waste money and cause hardship for the citizens. So he submitted a proposal requesting the emperor to reconsider. However, the emperor ignored his proposal and went ahead with the plan. Zheng Da was confused. He felt that since the emperor had not accepted his proposal, that he should not have been given credit for it. But the ruler of the spirit world assured him that although the proposal was not carried out, his compassionate thought for the people was sufficient in itself to be considered a major goodness. From this important factor, we can see that what is crucial, what is most important, is our original intention. Zheng Da's concern was not for himself, but for the hundreds and thousands of citizens who would suffer from such a major construction project. Even if they did not have to contribute in labor, they would have to pay heavy taxes to offset the cost of the construction.
If the emperor had foregone the plan and avoided any unnecessary expenditure, then all the citizens would have benefited from it. Therefore, we can see the magnitude of goodness behind this single thought. Although the emperor did not accept Zheng Da's proposal, this does not alter the fact that Zheng Da was sincere in what he did. This signifies that his heart was true, and the deed was an example of full and complete goodness. Had the emperor accepted Zheng Da's proposal, then the significance of the act would have been even greater. When we are determined to do good for the sake of all others, a small deed can indeed be worth great merits. But when we only think of benefiting ourselves, then even if we do